It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Today on the front porch, we're going to learn a little something about an author, an actor, a director, a professor. The list goes on and on and on. We are joined today by Dr. Jim Ryan, who has been a director of theater at Emporia State University for many years. He has also been an actor. He's an author now of a new book we're going to be talking about. Jim, first off, thanks so much for taking time to sit down and visit with us on the front porch.
Oh, I can't tell you how appreciative I am and excited to talk with you.
So for our listeners, I've read your bio to some degree to have an idea a little bit about your background, but for our listeners, kind of fill us in on a young Jim Ryan and kind of the things that you were interested in.
Well, when I was, I lived in California, I was raised in California, and from very, very early on, even before college, I was very interested in performing and acting, and so I pursued an education at Cal State Long Beach. I got my degree, my undergraduate degree, in theater, and did many plays there. And there was in my senior year there, various studios, Warner Brothers Studios, Universal Studios, a number of the studios in California decided that they would try to find young talent, and so they set up a talent competition in which each university was to submit one actor and one actress to go and perform in front of basically every talent scout and casting agent and just really top echelon of the entertainment industry. And so I was nominated by Cal State Long Beach, and I and my partner went and we performed. And after that, almost immediately, I got a day later or 2 days later, I can't remember exactly, but I got a call from Universal Studios, and there was a casting director there who said that he had been in the audience and wanted to meet me. And his name was Al Honorato, and he was a casting agent for many programs. And so I went to meet him, and we struck up a friendship and a relationship, and he was very, very supportive. And so I began to get small parts. One was on the Wild Wild West, and a number of other programs, and one led to a show called Shannon, and it was a detective series, and it was basically this one rogue detective who was really good and had everybody's best interest at heart, but he went against the DA's sort of by-the-book way of doing things, and it was this kind of dynamic between the DA and this this other guy. And they cast me as the DA, and it was really a wonderful, wonderful role. Unfortunately, the ratings weren't that good, and so we didn't last too long. But it was really fun, and so I continued to do things in film, and then I got this idea of putting together. I was very fortunate. I had a mentor, Dr. Ed Wright. And he was a very kind man, and he believed in me so much. And he was good friends with the very noted actor that I'm sure you know of, named Hal Holbrook.
Oh, yeah.
And Hal Holbrook toured for many years, doing Mark Twain. And he was the preeminent, and this idea of a one-person show. So Ed Wright, and I got to know Hal Holbrook, and they encouraged me to explore the idea of solo performance. And so I put together a one-person show called Sculptures in Sand, which was a series of monologues from different American playwrights. And I began, just to see what would happen. I began calling colleges, high schools, small theaters, just to see if there would be any interest. Well, there was. And pretty soon it developed, so I began to tour every year, and I averaged 130 performances a year, traveling everywhere, universities and high schools and colleges and small theaters, and just doing that. And so I was very, very lucky to make my living as a professional actor. I just acted all the time, and my goal was always 130 shows, because I figured my economics and what my rent was in California and what I needed to make. And so I would tour for 8 months of a year and then take 4 months off and just kind of recharge my batteries and get set to tour again. And I did that for just year after year after year after year, and it was wonderful. It was just an incredible kind of Peter Pan, I never had to have a part-time job or anything. I just did that, and it was really, really wonderful. And then I had a dear friend who I was also a distance runner, marathon runner, and one of my members of my group, I saw him, he decided to go on for a PhD, and that kind of, I don't know, I've always been, I don't know, if there's a higher level that you can go to, I've always sort of been intrigued by that. I don't know why. but anyway, I attended this dear friend's graduation and with his PhD, and I just was so happy for him, and it just kind of, at that point I had my master's degree, my MFA, but seeing him get this PhD, I thought, what a wonderful thing. And so I started applying to different universities, and I got accepted to the University of Colorado at Boulder, and I got accepted to Michigan State University, and I talked to, representatives from both universities, and they seemed enthusiastic. Well, finally, Michigan State, we went back and forth. I was getting calls from both those universities, to wanting me to come, and finally Michigan State called me and said, listen, we have this thing called the Dean's Fellowship, and it's a fellowship it's the highest fellowship that Michigan State offers, and it's never ever been given to a theater student, and we'd like to offer you this fellowship as the first theater student to ever receive the Dean's Fellowship.
Wow.
And so it was such a financial package that it was, I mean, I could not turn it down. And so I went to Michigan State and worked for 3 years to get my PhD, and had a mentor there who was, he's since deceased, but his name was John Beisch, and John just believed in me so much, and It was his encouragement and everything. In fact, downstairs, I still have a picture of he and his wife. They're both deceased now, but I carry that. I have that picture of them, and I look at it almost every day. And he supported me and helped me.
We're going to take a time out on the front porch. We're going to come back and hear more of the story of Dr. Jim Ryan on the front porch. We now continue our conversation with Dr. Jim Ryan on the front porch.
We had an interesting, it was very, very dramatic. It was, looking back on it, there was a, so basically you have to, you do your dissertation and then you have this defense. And the defense of the dissertation is you go before a panel of faculty and they ask you questions and it goes on maybe for, oh, I'd say a half hour. And then you're asked to be excused from the assembly, and you leave. And the members of the faculty then put their heads together, and basically they decide if it's yay or if it's nay, whether you're going to get your PhD and you know, and go on. And so before I left, I was told it would be about maybe 8 to 10 minutes. Just a brief time, and then they would call me back in. Well, I went out, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited for almost 45 minutes. I couldn't understand what was going on. I became really apprehensive, and finally the door opened, and, my dear mentor, John, said, come on in, Jim. And, I came in, and all the panel was seated around the table, and I sat in my spot. And the chair of the committee looked at me and said, "Well, Jim, we're very pleased to say that you've passed, and congratulations, Dr. Ryan." And so they stood up and shook my hand, except for this one individual. And he remained seated, and finally, the meeting ended, and this guy just got up. His name was Shuttler, George Shuttler, and he got up and he walked out. And after, so I said to my mentor, I said, John, I thought it was going to be 5 minutes or two. I was out there for what was going on, and he said, well, Jim, as soon as you left, we all said, okay, how do we vote? And we all voted absolutely yes, 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 and yes. And George Shuttler said, I'm not going to pass him. So they said to me, we said, George, based on what? Based on what? He answered every question. He was responsive. His dissertation is wonderful. I just don't think he's going to make a good professor. I just don't think he's going to. And it was, and I had had not confrontations, but I'd had, because again, I came in there with this Dean's Fellowship. This is something that had never been given to a theater student. Yeah. And I think, looking back on it and then talking with the other members of the committee, I just think it was, oh, this guy's a hot shot and I'm going to knock him down. And but anyway, it turned out wonderfully well. And so I then my goal, and I had the Dean's Fellowship was so, I hate to say this, but Dean's Fellowship was so generous. Not only did it pay for everything there, I had enough to buy a car. And so I bought a nice little car with it,
like a bonus.
And I had that car, and I had that car for years. It was just every time I would drive it, I would think of Michigan State and everything. So, but I had this idea when I was going to graduate from Michigan State. I had this idea for a book. And my grandma, I don't know about your family, but don't you think that most grandmas are pretty good cooks? I mean, I always thought that grandma was the best cook in the world, you know?
Absolutely,
and I loved my grandma so much, and we'd go and spend 2 weeks with her each summer, my brother and I, and we just had so much fun, and she'd cook for us, and we'd help her trim her trees, and we'd help her, you know, we'd be with her for 2 weeks, and we'd go see movies together. It was just a time of love and just wonderful, wonderful relationships and everything. I just think about her. But anyway, so I finished and I bought this car, and always in the back of my mind was this, you know, okay, I finished now and I've got this dissertation, and I kept thinking about, okay, turning that dissertation into a book. And so then I was going to go up and write this book. So I rented a place in northern Michigan, a beautiful, beautiful place right near Lake Michigan. It was gorgeous. And I was all set to go. I had rented the apartment. Landlady's name was Margaret. She was really sweet. And Margaret had the room all prepared for me. And I was 2 days away. I had everything packed. Everything was packed in boxes. I was 2 days away from putting these boxes in this new car that I got because I had this extra money. And I was all set to go to northern Michigan and write. I had this idea for this book dedicated to my grandma. And I get this call 2 days before I'm to leave, and it's from Kansas, a place I'd never been, from a university called Emporia State University, a place that I didn't know of. I didn't know anything. And they said, you know, Dr. Ryan, we know of you, and it just went on, and they said, we would like to, you know, fly you out for an interview at this university called Emporia State University. I said, oh, I'm very flattered, but I've got this idea for a book, and I think I just want to kind of lock myself up and just get this thing done. And they said, well, would you mind? We have this wonderful position opening up, head of the acting department. The lead acting teacher. You would direct. You would do all these things, and we would just like to meet you, and we'll fly you out. We've got a nice place for you to stay. I said no twice, and they were pretty persistent. And I said, well, okay, I'll fly out, but I really have to tell you, I've got this idea for this book, and I really, really want to work on it. And they said, well, we understand that, but please just come out. So they arranged, it was like a schedule for, you know, they had everything hour by, so I was there for 2.5 days. I flew out to Kansas and to Emporia State University, and they put me up in a really nice little place to stay, and it was fun. And I met all the professors, took me out to lunch, and they, you know, wined and dined for 2 days. And so, and at the end of the 2 days, I knew I was not going to take it. I was going to go up and write my book. The last thing, the third day, the last thing of the third day. They said, would you, we'll bring some students in, would you just kind of teach just a class, a 45-minute, 45-50-minute just class, interaction with the students, mm-hmm. just a class.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, sure. And so I did, and I went in and basically took things from my book and took things from, you know, that I'd done all my life. I did a couple of monologues. I did, you know, I just kind of did my thing. And it ended, and I said thanks to the faculty and the students, and I started to leave, and I parked across this large grass area that you have to walk across to get to the parking lot. And so where my car was, my rental car was, I was walking there, and all of a sudden, I'm walking, and there were these groups on both sides of me of students walking, who came walking with me and saying, oh, Dr. Ryan, please, we really hope you'll stay. We love that, and will you stay, and will you, and they were just, it was incredible. Hmm. I never, they were just so sweet. And they said, oh, we hope you'll stay. We hope you'll stay. And they walked me all the way to the car. And I got in the car and drove to the airport and flew back. And I kept thinking and thinking and thinking about those kids. And again, I had all my boxes set to go to Northern Michigan, and I thought for 2 days, I thought about it and thought about it. And on the third day, I called them and I said, I'll take the job. Mm. And so I loaded up my car that this fellowship paid for. we all called it the little red car. It was a really cute little sweet car that we had for years and years and years. And I drove it from Michigan to Kansas and started teaching, and I taught for 23 years at Emporia State, and was lucky enough to win the Roar Cross Distinguished Professor Award and the Sci-Fi Outstanding Faculty Award and the Liberal Arts and Sciences Award, to win all these awards. And it was, you know, and I directed 2 shows every year, and but all the time in the back of my head, all the time, you know, I had my book in my mind. And so once I retired in 2015, I started diving into the book, and I finished it, Credibility, A Recipe for the Beginning Actor, and the Author House is publishing it, or has published it, and it's out there. And and I always say, if anybody needs a really, really, really good night's sleep, just keep my book by your bed, and just read it, and you'll sleep well. So
that's great. Hey, I'm going to get a break in here real quick, and because I've got some questions leading up to Emporia State, and obviously the book, we want to talk about how you can help young actors, and with the real life experiences you have, it's fantastic to look into that. We're going to come back and visit more with Dr. Jim Ryan on the Front Porch. Today we visit with Dr. Jim Ryan on the Front Porch, and we've heard Jim's story of growing up in California, loving theater, loving, wanting to be an actor and becoming an actor, meeting up with Hal Holbrook, which is amazing, taking a leap of faith to do the one-man production and show and touring 130 dates a year, and then going for the fellowship and eventually getting to Emporia State University, the state of Kansas he'd never been to before, and being wowed kind of by the students after teaching a class. He was dead set on not taking the job and just couldn't refuse it. 23 years later, he retires and began work on the book that he alluded to briefly. It is Credibility, A Recipe for the Beginning Actor. And I can only imagine how invaluable your teachings were to young actors who were trying to get into the business in one shape or form or another, because you had lived through the real-life situation of doing just that. You mentioned a couple of mentors, Jim, that helped you along the way. And I think it's interesting that you would take the leaps of faith, it seems, that you've taken to do the one-man show, which was that a normal? The one question that came up as you were talking about that, we see more and more people doing that in this day and age. I think over the last decade, it seems like it's become a very popular form of art. Was it something?
I think so.
Was it something normal then, or was it something newer then?
Well, I believe it was atypical, mm-hmm. you know, and to a large extent, you know, acting is a really communicative art form. Not only you're communicating with your audience, but you're in communion with those who you face on stage, mm-hmm. and that kind of give and take is just invaluable. It's tremendous, and when that dynamic works, it's so uplifting. I can't say so. What you have to do as a solo actor, you have to create that kind of symbiotic relationship in a different way. You have to, one way of doing it, of course, is with imaginary characters, where you're talking to someone with whom you've visualized very specifically in your head, and you are relating to that kind of absent character in as specific ways as you would if, in fact, they were there. And the other way of approaching things is direct address to the audience. And that way, you get responses and reactions from the audience. And it's sort of two different approaches, direct address versus this sort of imaginary interaction with someone who's not there. So it's whatever you want to do. In my shows, I kind of did some of each. At times it was direct address, where I was, facing the audience and talking to the audience and relating to them. And then other times where I would create in my mind's eye a very specific person to whom I would relate. So it's an interesting dynamic, because again, you've got to create those moments of interaction, the highs and the lows, and the just that moment of electricity that comes so naturally when you've got other actors on stage, because you're taking what they're giving you and you're responding to that. So you've got to kind of create that by yourself when you're on stage, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask, as you were telling your story, is you said at an early age you knew that the acting bug, or at least the theater, or that vision was something. Did you have a creative home that you grew up in? Were your parents supportive of what you were wanting to do?
My, I was lucky. I had a mother who was as supportive as any mother could ever be, as kind and loving, and wasn't too successful on the father front. my mom was married two different times, and in two bad marriages, and then one that lasted longer. But I never had really a father figure in my life. Very much anyone to whom I could really relate or identify with. We went through some tragedies. My real father and my mother were married when they were very, very young, very, very young. She was 16. I think he was 17. And they were married 10 years. This was in Chicago. And it was a stormy, traumatic thing. And finally that ended up in divorce. And my father didn't take that divorce very well. And he eventually tried to kidnap myself and wow. and my younger brother, and so it became a big it was in the papers, and this, yeah. we were kidnapped, and we were subject to anyway, there was a eyewitness, my father being arrested and and taken away, and so it was that. And then my mother remarried to a man to whom she was married for a long time. He was very, very, very different sensibilities than I have, not artistically inclined at all. And one saving grace is he idolized my mother, and I will always be grateful to him for that. But he wasn't a warm and fuzzy man. We were civil with one another, and I always wished him well and cared for him, but he was not by any means I would say a loving father.
Sure.
And so I never really had that kind of influence in my life growing up, so that's why it's so important to me. I have two sons, and they mean the world to me, and it's important that that they know how I feel about them, and what I expect of them, and hope for them, and
right.
I'm very effusive with with my affection to my two boys.
That's
my
great.
Two young men, I should say.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
so
super.
One is going to start his PhD in psychology, and the other is finishing up within the next 2 years. He'll finish up with a theater degree. And I always kind of kid. I say, "Gee, I don't know where you got that from." But they're both doing well, so I feel very blessed. And of course, the blessing of my life is my wife. It's funny, I went through, I'm sure you did too, we all did, all us guys, we went through a number of relationships, and oh God, this is the right one, and then boom, it's not, and this is the right one, and boom, it's not, and you get your heart broken, you get your face smashed up, you get, your psyche is blown apart. And I went through those relationships, and I remember finally saying, "Okay, that's it. I'm going to be a bachelor for the rest of my life." And when I came right after I came to Emporia State, determined to live the rest of my life either as a monk or a bachelor professor for the rest of my life.
Once again, a timeout from On the Front Porch in our conversation with Dr. Jim Ryan. We'll return with more of that conversation coming up. And now back to our conversation with Dr. Jim Ryan on the front porch.
We had an introduction, the first just before classes start, there was a thing in the auditorium where each of the students stood up and said their name, and they were sitting on one side of the aisle, and all the professors were on the other side of the aisle, and everybody went, "Hi, my name is John Doe, and I am in. Hi, I'm Miss Mary." Da 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 da. Went on and on and on, and finally, this one young woman stood up, and she said that she made a joke, a funny joke, and she had a white scarf around her head with kind of rabbit ear bow on it, and she stood and she said, "Hi, I'm Anna Miller," and she cracked a joke, and something just hit me. And then the next night, they were going to have their singing auditions and everything. And so we went to the following night, we went to a little theater on campus. And I was sitting, down maybe the fifth row from the front. And one by one, the people would get up. And I saw this flash of red to my left. And I looked, and down the aisle came Anna, dressed in this beautiful, beautiful red dress. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. And, they say, is there a such thing as, truly, is there a such thing as love at first sight? And when I saw her in that red dress, my heart just left my, that I had never felt anything like that.
So your answer to is there love at first sight is yes, I'm guessing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. There is. and so, of course, that dynamics, I was, a number of years older than she, and, all that stuff. And she had a boyfriend and everything. But there still is an Emporia. It used to be a restaurant that you could go to. And now it's a communications building, but I go by when I do my workouts every morning. I do a four mile workout, and I go past this building, and every time I think of it. When Anna and I started talking with one another, I asked about it. I'm Catholic, and I asked what religion, and she said, "Oh, I'm Catholic," and I said, "Oh," I said, "Sometime would you like to go to church together?" And she said, "Oh, sure, sometime I would." And so one Sunday I went to Mass, and I was kneeling down. I had my eyes closed, and I was praying, and I was kneeling and praying. And I kind of sensed something beside me, and I opened my eyes and looked to my right, and Anna had come in and sat right next to me. And we finished Mass, and I said, would you like to go get a bite to eat? And she said, sure. And so we went to this restaurant in this building, and I still walk by when I do my, go by when I do my workouts, and I always think of this. So we were eating, and like it happened this morning, I looked across the table and I said, "Anna, I think you're very, very special. And what are you looking for in a man? What kind of a man do you hope that maybe you'll spend your life with?" And, okay, I got to be careful now. I'm going to get real sentimental here. I'm going to get real sentimental. I don't want to start to cry. But I said, "What kind of a man do you want to spend your life with?" And she looked across the table right into my eyes, and she said, "Someone like you."
That's a beautiful story, for sure. That's great.
And that just touched my heart. It touched my heart so much. And I have been just as in love with her to this day as I was when she said someone like you.
That's super. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is great. Hey, Jim, I've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to dig into the book a little bit. You had this idea when you got your fellowship. You were headed to Northern Michigan to hole up and write a book, and Emporia State got in the way, thank goodness, because Anna also got in the way at that point, and your two young men as well. The book is kind of centered around some ideas of you being at your grandma's house and the recipes
yes.
that she would throw together. It's called Credibility, A Recipe for the Beginning Actor. Give our listeners an idea of who this is directed at and what they can learn from it.
Well, it's you know, directed at someone who's interested in going into the craft of acting, beginning actors. And it you know, my grandma, her motto was little by little. And she would say that all the time, and that phrase, little by little. And so I talk in this book about incremental acting, and it's like a recipe. You start with two cups of yourself. You can't divorce who you are. So it's self. The main ingredient of any recipe, any characterization is self. You take who you are. And then you add technical proficiency, you add, you know, sensitivity, you have, being other-centered, you have all these other elements, and it's just like a recipe. And so in this book, I use this format as a recipe, and it's very simple way of approaching, you know, beginning with self, and then technical proficiency, how to orchestrate a line to get your point across and how your point can vary from others depending upon what words within that sentence you choose to emphasize. And if you are going to emphasize it, how to do it subtly and not pounded, not sound like you're saying lines, but sound like you're talking, simply talking. And how to do that technically. Simply by modulation of pitch and things like that, the use of pauses, when to pause, how long to pause, how it's just a technical approach, step by step, little by little, of how to create a characterization, one step at a time. And then so there's a whole section on acting in general, and then because, you know, I started touring, like I say, I did 130 shows every year,
right.
One-person shows. So then I have a section of the book that deals specifically with solo performance, the dynamics of solo
wow.
performance, what kinds of shows work, I give examples of famous people who have done solo performance, and then a section on the methodology, how to do it, how to get on stage alone, the dynamics of performing alone. So it dives into acting as a general craft and specific things that all actors have to do, and then there's a section that focuses on being alone on stage.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and I'm by no means an actor, but I grew up in theater in high school and in college did some. And
wonderful.
We still do community theater activities in our community, and the arts are high, which I'm so pleased that they've continued to be that manner in a smaller community here in Kansas, but they're thriving well in the area. So it's fascinating to me to hear your story, and it might even be I think it would be fun to read. I listen to a lot of podcasts with actors at talking about acting, and it's fun to dive into. So I could see this being something fun for not just someone trying to get into the business, but just learning about the methods.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope so. That's, that's why I wrote it. That's what I'm hoping.
Jim, your story is fascinating, and that you were able to do all of the different careers. Basically, you've had multiple careers when you think about it, and to put it to use then to teach what you grew up loving is fantastic, I believe. And we appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Oh, I thank you so much for taking the time with me. It's been just a great pleasure talking with you.
Fantastic. The book, again, is called Credibility, Recipe for the Beginning Actor. If you want to check that out, I'm sure it's available wherever you buy your books, correct?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's published through Author House, Publishing, and Credibility, a Recipe for the Beginning Actor.
All right. Jim, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, listen, it's been a pleasure to get to know you over the phone, and I wish you and your family and all your listeners well.
Blessings back at you. That's Dr. Jim Ryan, our guest on The Front Porch.